vessel for the master, that I may be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and fit for the master, prepared unto all good works.
This is your radio friend and minister, Dr. Joshua Uhiara, bringing you healing words from the master, a radio program of the Master's Vessel Ministry, which lets you know that Jesus loves you as you are, but loves you so much that he will not leave you as you are.
I have a friend, a precious friend, oh, how he loves me.
Radio friends, I greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Today I want to share with you what I will call the last words on the issue of worry or anxiety. Better still, the antidote to worry. It surprises me why those who call themselves children of God should worry. Why worry when God is your Father? Our text is taken from Matthew chapter 6, verses 31 to 34. Matthew 6, 31. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Verse 33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Let us pray. Father, we want to thank you for today. We want to thank you for all the blessings we have received so far in life, including your precious word, which you have the privilege to study now. We invite you, Holy Spirit, and ask that you take charge and cause your word to come alive to us. In Jesus' name, amen. By way of refreshing our memory, the command of Jesus is clear. Do not worry or be anxious. Why? In our earlier discussion, we saw three reasons why we should not worry or be anxious. One, worry is useless or unnecessary. Why worry over the past you cannot change? Why worry over a future you cannot predict? Why worry over a present you cannot control? Worry, anxiety is unnecessary. Number two, worry or anxiety is blind. It does not see how God takes care of lesser creatures like the birds of the air and vegetation. And if God takes care of them, how much more you? A sparrow held a conversation with another sparrow, and one sparrow said to the other, I wonder why these humans are so anxious and so worried about their lives. And the other sparrow answered, I guess it's because they don't have the kind of heavenly Father we have. Well, number three, worry is heathenic. Those who do not have God as their Father have every right to worry, but not God's child. Let me now go to the antidotes to worry. Jesus shows us how to neutralize and restrain the destructive effects of poisonous worry. That's what I mean by the antidotes. Antidote number one, serve the right master. If you want to kill worry, if you want to neutralize worry in your life, make sure you serve the right master. Matthew 6, verse 24. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon is more than money. It is anything, any material thing of value. Mammon. And the Lord Jesus says that you cannot serve God and serve material things of value simultaneously. It is impossible. The impossibility lies in the fact that it demands both of them make on any individual are diametrically opposed to each other. So there is no way you can combine serving the two at the same time. So antidote number one is to make sure that you serve the right master, and the right master is God. Antidote number two, trust or have faith in the wisdom, power, and faithfulness of a loving Heavenly Father. Verse 30. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? That's the problem. Faith, trust in God. Verse 31, therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles, non-believers, seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Note the difference between the two, heavenly Father and earthly Father. Earthly Father is limited by his sinfulness and his humanity. Yet, he knows how to give good things to his children. How much more a limitless, superabundantly rich Heavenly Father who will never be reduced to poverty and who will never die. Antidote number three. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That is, put God first, for he is in a class all by himself. Look at Matthew 6, verse 33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Seek first the kingdom of God. God is the king, for a kingdom presupposes a king. Kingdom is simply the domain of a king. God is the king of the universe. God was king over Israel until they rejected him and sought an earthly king. God is king over the church, the redeemed. God the Son is the soon coming king, according to Revelation chapter 19, from verse 11. Revelation 19, verse 11. Now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on him was called faithful and true. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he would strike the nations. And he himself will rule over them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of lords. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That is antidote number three. As king, God is responsible for his subjects. That's why he commands the redeemed to live a worry-free life, because he will more than adequately provide for them. As king, his subjects are responsible to him. You see, you cannot have a privilege without a responsibility. And the responsibility that the citizens of the kingdom of God have is to obey him, to seek the righteous demands of his kingdom. His righteousness is the outworking of his holiness, which is inward dedication of one's life exclusively to God. But what does it mean to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness? To seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness is to concentrate on knowing and accepting the righteous demands of God and doing them. Let me repeat. To seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness is to concentrate on knowing and accepting the righteous demands of God and doing them. Notice that the same word that describes what the heathen do about material things is what God wants his children to do with his kingdom and righteousness, and that is to seek. You find that in verses 32 and 33. Do you seek God and his righteous demands with the same dedication and zeal non-believers display in the search for creature comforts, in their search for material things? I doubt it. God wants to be the dominating power of your life. Such a life does not need to worry. When we come back, I'll conclude the rest of the last words on the issue of anxiety and worry. Shall we pray? Father, we want to thank you for another time we've had. And now, dear Lord, I want to commit all the hearers into your hands. And I'm asking that you set us free from worry and anxiety. This plague that has created so much problem in our lives, inducing all kinds of sicknesses and diseases. May you rescue your people and heal the sick in this radio audience, even now, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Make me a vessel for the Master, that I may be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and fit for the Master, prepared unto all good works.